5. A woman at a market. We come after a few days to a small town in the hills, away from the coast. No one seems to know him there. No throng pours out to greet us. We enter the town unobserved. It is about noon. We stop at the town square near a small mini-market and sit down to rest. We've been traveling for some distance and are all tired and hungry. "I will go and see what we can get for lunch," says Andy, one of the fishermen. "Here's a market right here," says one. "I feel like fish and chips," says Andy, moving away. "I'll join you," says Pete, his brother, the large man I mentioned before. Several others also chime in. Finally, the rest of us decide to go along, too. "Stay here, master," adds Pete. He is always looking for a chance to return Jess's kindness toward him. "We will find food and bring it back here. You rest. I can see that you are tired from the journey." Jess nods with a smile and thanks him. Then we all head off in what we take to be the direction of the market. I am the first to return. I find him, as is often the case, talking with someone at the square. A woman, probably 40 or 45, dark-skinned, very attractive, though graying noticeably, is seated on a bench beside him. They are both holding plastic bottles of water, which I assume the woman bought at the nearby market. She is listening intently to Jess. Despite her beauty, she appears to have had a difficult life. She does not appear happy, but careworn. In her eyes, I see the look I often notice in those to whom he turns when speaking to a crowd, an expression of hunger in the eyes. He seems drawn to such individuals like a magnet. I approach. He glances up with a smile and gestures for me to join them. He is always open and never pushes one of us away, no matter whom he is with. "This woman and I have been talking," he says as he introduces us. "She wonders why I'm speaking with her since we are of different religions. Actually," he adds with a light laugh, "I asked her if I could have one of her bottled waters, for I was very thirsty. I think my question surprised her, didn't it, my dear?" She nods, returning his smile. "So what would you tell her?" he says, turning to me. "Is what I have been teaching you a new religion that includes some but excludes those of different faith, perhaps such as she?" "No," I reply, glancing toward the woman. "She's watching to see what I will say." "I would not even call it a religion at all," I add, "but a way of life." "You have answered well," Jess replies. He turns again to the woman. "You see, it is exactly as I have been telling you," he says. "The water of life I offer is for men and women of all religions, even people of no religion. It is not a religion at all, as my friend has just told you, but a new way to live as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father." "But are all people God's sons and daughters?" she asks. "Of course," he replies. "He made all mankind in his image." "I thought only certain chosen people, such as what some call the elect, religions that exclude do not come from God," he answers before she finishes her statement. "All men and women were created by the same God for the same purpose, to live in harmony with him as his children. But sin caused mankind to walk away from that life of harmony and choose instead a life of independence, thinking such would make them happy." He pauses briefly. "Has it made you happy?" he adds. She glances down, embarrassed, it seems. "No," she whispers quietly. "It never does," says Jess tenderly. "It is impossible for independence from God to make people happy, for they were created to live in sonship. That is why I have come, that men and women like you, my dear, might regain that life and experience it abundantly. That is why they must learn to drink of new waters. Only so can they again become God's sons and daughters. "And can all drink of these waters you speak of?" she says. "Even an Arab like me?" "All can, all must, all will," replies Jess. "It is living water, far more refreshing even than this bottled spring water we have been drinking. Living water for your soul. When you drink of this water," he says, lifting the bottle in his hand, "you will thirst again. But when your soul drinks of the living water that I give, it will never thirst again." "What you say is so difficult to understand," she says. "Our religion does not teach such things." "That is because it is a man-made religion, not a way of life," replies Jess. "But it is not so difficult if you would know your Father in heaven," he goes on. "Once you decide to be his daughter and drink from the waters of his life, those waters will well up within and give you eternal life. You may indeed be an Arab. What is that to God? I am his son. You are his daughter. He wants us to live as his obedient and faithful children." "Then please," she says, "give me this living water to drink." "First, I would like you to go get your husband and bring him back. I want to speak with him also." "I have no husband," she says. Jess nods. "I know," he replies, and we detect sadness in his voice. "You have had 5 husbands and are now living with a 6th and are not even married to him." The woman's face turns ashen. She is stunned at what he has said. I find myself shocked as well. How could he have known?
You are right. Forgive me," she says softly, glancing again at the ground.
It is silent for a moment. Then she looks up, tears glistening in her eyes.
"Who are you?"
she asks. Jess merely returns her gaze with a smile.
You are surely a man sent from God," she goes on. "I know there is one who is supposed to come, a great man, a prophet. I have always been taught that he would make things clear and explain everything to us about God. But you..."
Just then a clamor of voices and footsteps behind us intrudes into my ears. I look around to see the others returning with food and drink. I turn back again a moment later to the woman seated on the bench. An expression of astonishment has spread over her face. Her eyes are open wide in wonder, but I do not hear what Jess has just said to her. From Jesus, an Obedient Son by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.